Okay, let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 13. Beginning in verse, let me start in 6. Let's hear the word of God. Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this morning. Once more, Lord, as we open your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll illuminate the scriptures to us, that you'll open our hearts and open our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus and his disciples have gathered for dinner, and all 12 of the disciples, Judas is included in that mix, though in his heart, he is not a disciple any longer. In his heart, he's already determined to betray our Lord. And of course, this is not absent from the mind of Christ. Jesus knows what's going on. And even at that, he rises to engage in the most humbling of acts of service. The master is doing the work of the lowliest of servants. The master is going man to man and washing their feet. Jesus goes from one disciple to the next one. And as this procedure is going on, you almost, as we said, you feel the tension in the room. You feel a sense of shame that is building up in each one of the disciples, knowing their unworthiness and knowing who Jesus is. Yet nobody says, "Lord, hey, let me take over for you." They stay reclined about the table as Jesus goes about his work. Well, he comes to Peter, and Peter questions him. He says, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet? That's not your place to be doing that sort of thing. You are, in fact, a king. Kings have servants. Kings don't do these things." And Peter, you know, kind of gets a little bristled at this. You know, Jesus says to him, he says, "Look, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will." Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we see an instruction, we may, you know, we read a narrative, we read teaching passages specifically, but we fail to understand. We see what's being said to us, but we don't really grasp what is said to us. We don't have an understanding of what Jesus is telling us. In Matthew 5, for instance, Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Paul, in the 12th chapter of Romans, writes, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head." Now, that goes contrary to our nature. We have enemies. We don't want to bless them. We don't want to help them. We don't want to aid them. We want to kill them. That's our nature. If someone is opposed to us, we are naturally opposed to them and wish to eliminate them. But Jesus didn't teach us that. Our natural impulses are what we're supposed to overcome. Our natural feelings, our natural desires are the things that Paul told us that we're to put to death. We are to kill those things. And we'll have to do it probably every day of our lives. Because the things that we naturally succumb to are the things that we most need to fight. But clearly, not understanding the instruction is not an uncommon thing. It happens to everybody. One thing that we can understand from the statement of Jesus, from his prodding of Peter in this moment, he's saying to him unspokenly, not in words, but he's saying, trust me. Come on, Peter, just trust me. He says, you don't understand now, but you will know. Trust me. You know, another thing that's hard for us, we don't have to know why God works like he works. We don't have to know why God does what he does. All we have to do is trust him. Our duty as a Christian calls us to simply trust him and to obey him. God tells us to do something, we do it. We don't have to understand it. You know, I never had military service, but I know, well, Bruce did. And Harlan, I don't know if you were in the military or not. But I know guys who go into the military, they don't ask. They just get told. And they have to do what they're told. You know? Sometimes grudgingly. You have to make a bed so you can bounce a quarter off of it. I've never, ever in my life been able to do that. But apparently, the military develops those skills. So you can bounce quarters all day long if you want to off of a well-made bed. I don't understand it, but they said do it, so I have to do it. In our Christian life, we don't have to understand where God's leading us. We don't have to understand what God is doing. We just have to listen, trust him, and obey him. But as he says to Peter here, he says, you don't understand now, but you will. There is a point when he will reveal to us those things that are hidden. Now, to be honest with you, that point may not come until we go to glory. We may not understand until we leave this earth why God did anything. But his promise is that someday we will. Can you live with that? Well, I think you have to. And see, that's where we need to rethink. And when we say, as Paul said in Romans, you know, we need to have our minds renewed. Because our nature battles that kind of a thing. For Peter, he would better understand. He will understand more fully what it is that Jesus is doing in this event after Christ dies and is buried and is resurrected and ascends. And he will know more fully about what Jesus is doing when he sends the Comforter, when he sends the Holy Spirit. These things are revealed to them. But future understanding doesn't stop Peter from being an idiot now. See? He says, you shall never wash my feet. There is an arrogance in Peter that Jesus has to deal with from time to time. In Matthew 16, Jesus is foretelling his death And Peter says, nope. He says, that ain't happening. Yeah, you're not going to die. You know, we love you. You're our king. You're our master. We're going to walk around on this earth for another 30, 40, 50 years. And Jesus quietly and lovingly turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. It's moments like that that Peter is sure that he knows more than God. And it's moments like that that Jesus sharply rebukes him. Now, that may not be your personality. Yeah, that may not be where you're at. You may not strongly disagree with God and need these sharp rebukes from time to time. But I'll bet you it happens. I'll bet you sometimes we start living our lives and we're getting pretty comfortable and we head down our own little path, the directions where we think that we're leading ourselves, and we have to be confronted and say, you know what? Get back to where you belong. What an embarrassing situation that had to be for Peter. I mean, especially since this wasn't the first time, you know? This wasn't the first time that Peter just shot off his mouth. This wasn't the first time that Peter did what we might consider now stupid things. But I don't know that Peter had the personality that could get embarrassed. You've known people like that, right? There are people who do and say idiotic things. And it seems like, you know what? I would be embarrassed to tears if I were to say or do that. But it doesn't seem to faze them at all. Even when they're confronted with the error, it just rolls off. It's no big deal. I don't know if Peter was that way or not. But I would think that would be an embarrassing situation. I wonder in our own case, in our own lives, how many times, and not necessarily with our words, not boldly speaking out like this, but with our actions we say to God, nope, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. God calls us to worship him in the assembly of the saints. And men say, no, I don't have to do that. I can do that anywhere. I can worship God. You know, I can just stroll out into the woods. And I can commune with God. And I go out there and I hear the birds and I see the trees and all the beautiful things. And I just relate to God and I have such a great thing. Do you know, and you might come out of the woods feeling absolutely wonderful. But that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to worship together as a body. When I'm walking along in the woods and all these good things are happening out there, I'm not one time hearing the gospel preached to me. I am not one time being called to repentance for my sins. I am not at one time called to humble myself before Almighty God. But I could be having a great time out there. I'm feeling it. People, humans are emotional creatures. And we can get emotionally high. We can feel really good with no reality associated to that good feeling. God calls calls the church to fellowship with each other, to bear one another's burdens, to share each other's joys. And we say, I ain't got no time for that. I got my own agenda. I got my own schedule. I got my own life to live. Isn't it enough that I see these people for an hour or two on a Sunday morning? Do I have to actually spend other time with them? Do I have to break bread with them? Do I have to pretend that I like them? God calls us to do that. We may not understand that. We make these kind of statements with our actions, and we do that in part because our vision is limited. We only see in part. We don't see the big picture. We walk around in tunnel vision. We see, okay, this is me. This is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. And we don't see everything. This was the same for Peter. Peter was just exactly like you and I in so many ways. So Jesus once again has to speak to him and says, look, Pete, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And that's like, oops. Because here's the deal. Peter's heart was with Jesus. Peter wanted to be with Jesus. Why do you think he would argue with him when Jesus talks about dying? Peter says, no, I'm loving this life. I don't want something to happen that's going to mess this life up. I want to spend as much time as I possibly can with you, Lord. He loved him. And yet he needed to be rebuked once again in this situation. And on more than one occasion. And the rebukes for Peter were always painful. And it seemed like they were always public. Because yeah. See, when Peter did his things, when Peter argued with Christ and that stuff, it was always a public thing. Yeah. He didn't take him aside and say, hey Lord, listen. This is the way it's got to be. He didn't do that. No, he's standing in front of the other guys. He's displaying his authority, you know. So the rebukes that came had to be painful. Peter was a guy. He overreacted, sometimes overcorrected. And those are practices that are very dangerous that we sometimes all do. We metaphorically speak about a clock's pendulum, which when it's swung all the way to the one side, goes all the way back to the other side. There's no balance. It's always one side or the other side. And people tend to do that. People tend to go to one extreme or the other. There's not a lot, really, that try to stay middle of the road. Frankly, it's impossible to stay middle of the road. You're going to go one side or the other. Maybe not extreme one side or the other, but you will. Peter at first rebuffs the Lord. He says, you aren't washing my feet. And now the pendulum swings where he says, give me a bath. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Well, then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Hey, let's not be bashful. Let's get the whole thing done. I mean, I want to be all the way there. I want to be perfectly clean. I want to make sure that my place with you is secure. And once again, Peter errs by speaking as though Jesus doesn't know what he's doing. it's redundant, but how embarrassing must it be to try and tell Jesus that you're not getting it right? You know? Come on. But he has, you know, 10 seconds to think his position over. And it's like, you know, why not have Jesus do more? You know, and before we get too hard on Peter, the man was sincere, you know? He was sincere in his expression to Jesus because he wanted to be right with him. He wanted, as far as his relationship went, to have a clean slate, to be in perfect communion. And at the same time, he's fully aware of the polluted condition of his own nature. And those things don't... Look, we know what we struggle with. Every single one of us has some sin that easily besets. Now, how often that happens, or to what degree that happens, only you and God know. But the Scripture tells us to get away from those things. So we must all be engaging those things. And Peter knew about his situation. And in his mind, for the moment, he's saying, look, if having my feet washed was good, wouldn't more be better? But see, the thing about Jesus that was never fully grasped, you know, by the disciples early on, and even to some degree to this point in Christ's ministry, is that Christ's major concern was about the spiritual nature of these guys. It's not that he disregards physical or temporal needs, because he doesn't. He told us plainly that you know, consider the lilies. And look at the sparrows that are fed and cared for by the Father. So he understands we have temporal and physical needs, and he's, you know, he's concerned about those. He cares about those things. But the major concern that he has is our spiritual life, is our spiritual condition. Because that, my friend, is permanent. Our spiritual life never ends. When our physical bodies are laid down and buried, our spirit is still going on. Who we are continues to live. And that's what Jesus is most concerned about. So when he speaks, while Jesus is washing feet, Jesus is washing physical feet at this moment, his illustration is a spiritual one. When he speaks of washing to Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. This is not a physical bath that he's talking about. The bathing that Christ speaks of is of a spiritual nature. It's a soul that needs cleansed by Almighty God. When we're washed in Christ, we're justified. When we're washed in Christ, our sins are removed from us. They're cleansed from us. They're washed away, if we use that terminology. And even in that train of thought, we need to wash the dust from our feet, from the places that we walked, spiritually. Where have we gone? You know, it's not like you have to be this evil shrew or something like that. It's sneaking around and engaging in all kinds of illicit activity. Just the natural living day to day in the world. You can't isolate yourself enough. You hear a newscast or hear any other radio program or watch a television, read a newspaper, walk into a public place, go to Walmart. Places that you'll go that you'll hear things, you'll see things, things that you need to cleanse yourself from. So it's a spiritual foot washing, if you would, that you need to do every day. Close out your day in conversation with God. And say, Lord, hey, at this point of the day, I don't even remember everything everywhere I've been or everything I've done. But you do. Cleanse me from those things. Prepare me for rest. And enjoy a peaceful rest in Christ. And Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And then he says, and you are clean. That's an assurance from Christ to you that if you take care of business, you can rest in that. The scripture that we quote so often from 1 John. We have the assurance that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and forgives us. He washes our slate clean every day when we go to him. And we hear the words from Jesus, and you are clean. And we thank him for that. Let's pray.